This is John Killoran for Payments.com, and we are here today with Brent Owens, who is the developer liaison at Beanstream, a digital river company. Welcome, Brent.
Hi, John. Good to talk to you.
Glad you could be with us today. And now, Beanstream, it's been around since 2000, and Digital River picked it up in 2013. If you could just sort of introduce us to Beanstream, give us your elevator pitch of the company.
Sure thing. So Beanstream is the small and medium-sized business portion of the payments division in Digital River. So Digital River does a whole lot of payments work, so from commerce, email marketing, to e-commerce payments. And Beanstream is really a small to medium business portion of that. We're based in Canada, and that's where we grew really strong. As you said, we've been growing since the early 2000s. We're processing, I think it's over about $24 billion a year in payments. We're quite strong here, and we're starting to reach out a little bit more into the U.S. now. We have a big U.S. launch coming up this year. We're already in the U.S., but we're kind of going with a larger launch coming up soon. So, yeah, we're quite well established. Some of the banks here in Canada, such as Toronto Dominion and First State of Canada, are actually using us as their white label partner. So when you're using TD Online Mart, you're actually using Beanstream. So that's really helped catapult us into the merchant arena here. And it's been working out quite well. It's a smaller size company. We don't have hundreds of people at Beanstream. We're actually just under 60 people. So we kind of operate almost as a lean startup in a sense. We're very agile. Development process has a quick turnaround. And there's a lot of great people here, too. It's a really fun place to work at.
Well, sounds like it. Tell me a little bit about your developer portal. What tools are you giving developers and entrepreneurs to use? And what's in and out of bounds in regard to that and why?
So the developer portal is really a place for developers to kind of congregate and use our system. Traditionally with payments, especially going back into the 2000s, they were targeted at more of the merchants. But often what we're seeing now is the merchant is actually the software developer. Or when the software developer is working for a company and the company says, hey, we have a website, we're selling this product, we need to take payments, they'll leave it up to the developer to find the tools to actually take the payments. So what the developer portal is a way to reach out to those developers, speak the languages that they speak, such as programming languages, and really get the message out to them that, hey, we've got the good tools here that you need. We provide the solutions that you need from a developer, but also from a merchant standpoint. And that's kind of what the developer portal is focusing on. So what we have is several APIs for our payment systems. Since we've been around for so long now, we've got different flavors of the APIs. We've got our old SOAP API. We've got our kind of middle-aged is about 4 years old. middle-aged process trans API, and then we've got our newer RESTful API. But on top of that, what we realized is we really need to build some more tools around it. So APIs are great. What they allow you to do is connect to the payment services from any kind of device using any programming language, wherever you are. They're really great for that. But there's still a little bit of work that the developer has to do on their end. And it's a lot of the work that every developer is going to have to do, such as creating connections to the servers, checking for errors, and all that sort of thing. So the tools we're building are software development kits, or SDKs, and these just kind of help bootstrap the connections for the developers, handle those exceptions, and just make it a little bit easier for them to connect to our payment services. Now, so that's a lot of what we've been focusing on in the developer portal, is building out those suite of tools just to make development time a lot easier and a lot quicker. Because, you know, in the end, when a company is building their website, say they're a startup and they've got this great idea, they don't want to really focus on taking payments. That's just something that they have to do. They want to do it, get it done, get it over with. And we want to make sure it's a nice, quick, and easy process for them.
All right. Talking a little more about developers, when you look at what they are bringing to the table today, how much would you say what they're doing can be translated into payment innovation, and how much just a variation of existing payments methods?
That's a good question. I'm seeing a lot of more software as a service now. So these companies maybe they started off writing software for a specific vertical, and then they kind of found a niche that say, hey, we see a real need here to sell kind of our software as a service for other companies. So this happens in like gift cards. You're starting to see gift card companies that almost white label themselves for other gift card companies. Or other gift card services like that. So So they focus on their one vertical, their one area, and they do it really, really well, which is great. If you're going out there and say you need that gift card for your company, then you can find the company that's doing it incredibly well, leverage that service for a very affordable cost, much cheaper than building it in-house. And then you have some experts there who have been doing it for years and know how to do it. I'm seeing a lot of software developers move to that model. And that's also pushing a lot of the data for those merchants into the cloud. So a lot of their transaction history or inventory is stored in different services on the cloud. The actual physical cloud too, such as Amazon Web Services or Azure or Heroku, things like that. A lot of the companies are putting their software on there as well as their data, and it's really spread out, which is great because then there's no real single point of failure and it's, and you can leverage whatever services are out there. So I'm seeing a lot of apps start to go that way along other services and that sort of thing.
I want to hit you with a list question here, Brent. Based on your experience, what do you think are the top three most creative examples of emerging payments at the point of sale?
All right. Well, one really interesting one. I love NFC. Touch payments is fantastic. I love to touch my credit card, just touch and go, and then I'm done. That's great. And I'm really excited for biometric services such as Apple Pay and just being able to NFC touch and pay and be done with it. So I really like. I also like the idea of being able to order ahead and show up at the retail outlet or restaurant and just have everything ready for me. It saves time, saves the consumer tons of time while you're driving to the place. You know, they can get your order ready for you. Any apps that are starting to branch out into this more omni-channel market. So instead of just brick and mortar versus e-commerce, you're getting, say, the Tesla Motors model where you go to the showroom and then you go online and order the car, which is a totally different business model. That's one of the kind of the new omni-channel models. But then also the order ahead model is, you know, you go to Amazon, you order the product, and maybe you then go to the physical retail store and pick it up. A good example would be like pizza restaurants where you can, you know, order online, show up and pick it up. That's a great model. And a lot of apps are starting to move in that direction for convenience for everyone. It's slick. It's easy to do. Secure, safe, and it's hassle-free. These apps, you take a look at Uber, and it's just beautiful. It's so easy to use, and they're really disrupting the market, too. And you can see how upset companies are, especially taxi companies. Up here in Canada, there's legal battles everywhere because Uber's disrupting it. I wish we had Uber in Vancouver and Victoria. That would be wonderful. So, and then one other technology or payments technology at the point of sale. Been talking with a fellow based in Victoria, and we're a bit of a craft brewery town here.
Right.
And he loves craft beer, and he's been talking with breweries and finding out that a lot of these breweries, they lose their kegs, and they have a hard time crafting them. Yeah, it happens. And the kegs are expensive. They're over $100 per keg or so, and often there's a damage deposit put down on the keg. But, you know, they lose them, they misplace them. And then they don't know necessarily how old the product is in some of the kegs. So what he's done is written an app for them that will allow them to track all that. And what he wants to do is integrate it into their actual point of sale systems. So when a customer comes by and wants to rent a keg of beer, then it's automatically tracked for them. They go, what keg, how old the keg is, how old the product in the keg is. And it's just a very specific vertical that this point of sale software is for. It's for micro craft breweries. I think I'm going to see, or we're going to see a lot more of that, where it's very specific. So instead of just for, like, say, a restaurant, you might have a specific type of restaurant, like a fast food restaurant app or a food truck app, that sort of thing.
Okay. All right. Those are three pretty good examples. Just to wrap up here, I just want to ask, sort of talk about the future of Beanstream. What can we expect from Beanstream in the near future? And I don't know what projects you can and can't disclose, but if you can, what are you working on?
Well, we're working on something pretty exciting. We're quite well versed in the e-commerce or card-not-present payments platform. We've done the card swiping card-present device. Sort of similar to Square, where you swipe your card at a vendor's booth and take payments that way. But at least in Canada, we've had EMV for a while now, so chip and pin EMV. But it's starting to come out into the U.S. this year. So merchants are really going to have to jump on board for that. So we saw that ahead of time. They decided, okay, there's a real opportunity. opportunity here, not to just provide another device for people, but also to take advantage of the changing point of sale service. So moving to apps, moving to the cloud, and moving to quicker, cheaper, more affordable options for merchants. And so what we've developed is our Sprout POS service, Sprout for Beamstream.
Right.
And what it is, it's kind of two parts. So the first part we have right now is a payment device. It's built by Ingenico, a chip and pin EMV NFC device. It's a small, well, payment pad, actually. It's about the size of an iPhone, a little bit bigger. And what it does is we built an SDK that allows apps to talk to that device. So instead of building our whole payment interface onto the app, what we've done is built a sample one, but we're providing developers the tools to integrate into that, which is a lot different than what some of the other competitors are doing out there, where they're saying, hey, you know, use this, you know, this service right here. If you're using this hardware, you have to use our software here. What we're saying is, no, you can use our SDK, and then you can just build payments into your apps. You can build point of sale into your apps very easily. So what we're working with is other larger companies that have established payment systems for, say, restaurants or other retailers, and are saying, hey, you know, if you use this device here, you can tie into it with your software, and you don't have to rewrite your entire software suite. Your app can stay the same, but you can now take payments in person. So that part is really exciting. That's the first phase of our Sprout POS system, and that's entering into closed beta right now. We've got a couple of merchants live with it, and I think we've, within the first few weeks or so, we've had about 300 merchants sign up for the closed beta, so, and that's just in Victoria around here. So it is really great. And it's really shown us that merchants want a more affordable way to take payments without a clunky cash register. They all have tablets. They all have apps, like, or iPhones or Android devices. So they know how to use them. Apps are pretty cheap. You know, you're looking at $5 to $50 or $100 in, say, monthly fees for some of these retail apps, which is a lot cheaper than some of the other services out there. And the Sprout POS payment terminal only has a rental fee of about, I think it's less than $20 a month. So it's for any kind of merchant who wants to use it. So that I'm super excited for. The other part we have, which I can talk a little bit about, is to complement that, is providing, it's called what we're calling Offers in the Cloud. And it's a mechanism that we're using to allow apps through Sprout to communicate to each other. And it's, I have to be careful about what I can say. But instead of apps being their own little silos, they will be able to communicate some of the information around, as long as it's authorized through the merchant. But the merchant will be able to say, get a loyalty card app. So say they're a coffee shop and they have a loyalty card. They'll be able to use a loyalty card app. And that loyalty card app will actually be able to reward the consumer with gift cards through a different gift card app. So these apps will be separate, but they can actually work together through this system and without us bogging them down. So we're giving them the tools so the apps can interact with each other, with the data and what the merchant is doing, what the consumer is doing. I think we're going to see some amazing ideas come out of that. What those specific implementations are, I don't know yet. We're kind of leaving it up to developers out there to dream up the cool ideas, but I think it's going to be a really exciting next year or two.
Yeah, I would say, Brandon, it sounds like you have some very interesting things coming down the pike for sure.
Yeah.
All right, and I just, you know, that's all I have for you today, and I just want to thank you again for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, thanks so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you.